Ladies and gentlemen, the three of E's is upon us.
Yes, the egg evolution extravaganza. The three of E's is here, or as, you know, the lame people call it, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, or as some weirdos call it, that one video game expo that occurs every year.
Yes, E3 is one of the biggest entertainment expos to ever exist, and quite frankly, we're really excited about it.
Yeah, at the time of this recording, the biggest part of E3, Nintendo's, what do you call it?
Direct.
Yeah, the Nintendo Direct for E3 came out yesterday.
Yesterday, and it was the it was the best part of E3 because everyone else sucked, honestly.
Yeah, there was nothing of real importance from Xbox or anyone else, really.
But more on that later.
Yeah. We are here to bring you, as well, a couple of Did You Know gaming facts. Anyway, we'll elaborate more on this after this little muse break. So stay tuned on 1007 Riverland Life FM. Hold on to your hats, listeners, because right now we have all the Did You Knows that are not at all related to E3, or at least I don't think so. But anyway, it was kind of hard trying to find Did You Knows that wasn't related to E3, because every news website that I looked at was just swarming with E3 things and not much else.
It's like the only thing that anyone who's interested in video games can talk about is E3, but we found some things that aren't E3 related that we'd love to share with you.
To start off with, we've got Pokemon Pop Vinyls that have been recently announced. Funko have announced the new wave of Pokemon to join the Pop Vinyl line. The next four available will be a Silver Charmander.
Ooh.
A Sitting Pikachu.
Oh my gosh.
A Horsia.
Horsey. It's pronounced
a Horsey.
It's like a seahorse, but backwards.
A Horsey. And the biggest boy himself, Flatulence. I mean Charizard.
What?
The release dates have yet to be confirmed, though they are surely be $20 each. I'm not into pop vinyls, but I know that they look cool. And I hope that they make more stuff like this in the future because little figures of your favorite pop culture characters are just so darn cool.
Yeah, I really, really, really love pop vinyls. However, I always struggle to get a hold of them because they go out of production so fast. It's like as soon as a company releases it, like not even 2 months later, they will just stop making them and you can't find them anywhere and you have to go onto like eBay and stuff to get them pre-owned. It's really annoying. Anyway, I feel like we've been talking about Pokemon a lot in these, like...
Did you know?
Pokemon's just been all through the news, but that doesn't matter because I've got more Pokemon-related stuff for you.
Hooray! So... Wait, back on the pop vinyl topic. I feel like the bunch of Pokemon that they announced were kind of a little underwhelming.
Yeah, I was thinking...
Yeah, because like, we've already got, heaps of Pikachus, yeah. Charmander, Bulbasaur, and I think Squirtle as well.
Yeah, when I went to get one of your presents, I was going to get you a Pikachu pop vinyl.
Yeah,
so
but I already have
one. Going to be much different.
I already have one. And I think like the ones that they released now were kind of underwhelming.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
a Silver Charmander, I guess it's
cool. Who wants
Pikachu
that?
Sitting down, why?
It's cute.
Because I do that on the regular.
Exactly.
Sit down.
Charizard, I will admit, is cool. Horsey as well. It's very cute. But there's missed opportunities for really, really cool Pokemon that would look epic as pop vinyls. Like some of the legendaries or like some of the final evolutions for the most recent games.
Yeah.
Like Decidueye or Incineroar or something.
I'm questioning why they didn't just release some Gen 4 Pokemon. Because
yeah, to tie in with Diamond Pearl.
Anyway, just enjoy our Pokemon talk while it lasts because you'll hear none of it during E3, our E3 talk.
Nor yes. Animal Crossing. That was disappointing.
I did mention I was not going to shut up about Pokemon because we've got yet another Pokemon-related thing for you. Pokemon Go creators are making a Transformers game. Niantic is expanding from cute little critters to giant robots. The developers announced its next project, a location-based augmented reality, or AR, game called Transformers Heavy Metal. This game is expected to launch globally sometime this year. Very vague. Sometime this year.
Yes. Although, transforming, you know, cars into robots, that sounds super cool.
You do realise Transformers has been a franchise for so many years?
I know. I was about to say...
Yeah.
I don't really care that much because... I don't really like Transformers that much because I never grew up with it.
I really like Transformers.
I have like seen a little bit of Transformers. The only Transformer thing that I've been like really into was the Bumblebee movie that came out. Yeah.
Yes,
ago.
I was going to mention. Am I like the only person who knows anything about Transformers? But yes, I watched Bumblebee. Yes. That was such a good movie.
I haven't seen the Bumblebee movie, but I
haven't. I want to.
I really want to.
Yeah, watch it. It's good. Anyway, I just think it's kind of odd how Niantic is going from making, you know, cute Pokemon, and Pokemon has become their thing. They have managed to create an entire franchise out of cute animals.
And they're not the people that made Pokemon. They're just the people that made the Pokemon Go game.
Oh.
Game Freak made Pokemon. Niantic are just the Pokemon Go people.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a
I think they're probably
it's a bit of a stretch for them, but yeah. Seeing as it's AR, I think they'll do a good job.
Yes, I think what you just said then is that most like developers and like companies want them to make AR games
because
for their franchises.
Because your video game in real life, that's so cool, but half the time it doesn't really work.
Yeah, and like as we mentioned a couple of episodes back, bit of a throwback here, they announced they were making a Pikmin AR game similar to Pokemon Go. So they're kind of jostling a couple of projects at the moment. So.
Yeah. There's this whole thing about AR. It's essentially, for those of you who don't really know what it is, it's like, imagine if through your phone, a character could be in the world.
So basically, you can project whatever character you want and will just be in the real world.
Yeah.
But only through your phone. And to me, I don't really know how Transformers is going to work with that. That's the other thing I was going to mention is, how are they going to do that with Transformers? Like, where does the Transformers AR...
Yeah, this doesn't really appeal to me because I feel like if you're into Transformers, you grew up with it as a kid.
Mm. And you got like the little cars that you can turn.
You got all the toys, and I feel like if you didn't grow up with it, it's really hard to get into Transformers, kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, for something that's not Pokemon for once,
finally,
we have Microsoft Flight Simulator getting an Xbox Series X release date, as well as getting a Top Gun tie-in. As expected, Microsoft Flight Simulator finally received its release date for Xbox Series X, and although it's not a stealth drop during the conference like many had hoped, it's not too far over the horizon. The game, which we adored on PC when it released last year, is launching on Xbox Game Pass for consoles on July 27th, and it's also getting a pretty rad movie tie-in with Top Gun Maverick. A short sizzle reel, backed by the iconic Top Gun guitar lick, shows off the death-dying maneuvers you're going to be able to pull off in these signature jets.
So wow. I don't know what any of that is, but my dad likes planes, so I don't know. there you go.
Yeah, I guess like the only thing we can kind of say about it is movie tie-ins are cool.
And Microsoft Flight Simulator, that is cool. It's like you fly it in real time, which I think is pretty cool.
It can either be relaxing or stressful as heck.
Let's forget about Top Gun.
Yeah.
Yes.
With all that out of the way, stay tuned to 1007 Riverland Life FM, where we get ready to talk about E3 for half an hour straight.
Yeah.
E3. We all know exactly what video game the star of E3 was. Animal Crossing.
Wrong.
What?
Obviously, the star of E3 was Breath of the Wild 2.
Animal Crossing
was not there.
Yes, that's the point. Okay, so E3 happened and I was not there to watch the live stream with my friends because I was very, very busy doing stuff. So I couldn't make it. So I'm going to leave it up to two of these people, these humans, to tell me exactly what happened in E3.
Well, we're going to save the biggest and the best stuff, Nintendo, to last.
Nintendo, yes.
So we're just going to talk about all the stuff that mostly is Nintendo for the time being.
So me, being the giant nerd that I am, watched all of the press conferences.
And we thank you for it. Otherwise, we would be in quite of a pickle.
Yes. I watched Ubisoft, Xbox and Bethesda, Squaresoft, and of course, Nintendo.
You watched them all.
I watched them all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I watched them all, and They only went for like 30 or 40 minutes each, so...
Nerd much?
Not much, I guess. But anyway, let's start out with Ubisoft, which honestly didn't reveal that much.
Well, they are quite a small company compared to everyone else.
Well, they are.
They're only really known for Just Dance and some few minor games, yes. But mainly Just Dance is how they earn their money.
Speaking of Just Dance, Just Dance 2022 is announced.
Yee!
And alongside the trailer, they revealed that a song was going to be modified exclusively for Just Dance.
Ooh. Oh, that's really cool.
I can't remember the artist's name, but I remember that the original song was going to be a dance as well as the modified lyrics version. So that's going to be exciting.
Just Dance have done some original songs before and they have been legitimate bops. One of my favorites was, I think, it was called Sugar Dance from 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, cool. Ubisoft announcing Just Dance is not a surprise to me. They do it every year.
Mm.
Why am I not surprised?
But because you're not.
I'm sure Just Dance 2022 is going to be an absolute bop. I use Just Dance on my Wii. I haven't bought it in a few years, but I'm hoping to eventually get a hold of the new Just Dance. It's like the brand new ones.
Mm.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. I'm super excited. There are a lot of bops that came out this year, so I'm excited to see them in Just Dance.
And Just Dance 2022 is going to be coming out for the PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, and the Nintendo Switch.
So not on the Wii?
Not on the Wii.
What? Damn it. Okay,
the trend
then.
Has ended.
I'm just going to die now. Bye.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll have to start getting it for my Switch then.
Exactly.
Oh, wait, no, I can't. I've got a Switch Lite. Damn it.
Damn it.
What is this?
It's
torture.
It's a clickbait.
God.
Anyway, moving on to basically the only other notable thing that we can actually mention, Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. This is a sequel to Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle. It is a sequel to that game that is taking place in the Mario Galaxy universe with the introduction of Rabbid Rosalina.
And Rabbid Lumas, which look kind of cute but kind of cursed at the same time. I suddenly turned into Kronk.
In battle, they can give you special abilities and also they're remixing, I guess, reimagining the RPG style as you can freely roam around the map.
Well, in a specific area.
In a specific area.
That sounds pretty cool, honestly. So Super Mario Galaxy is, I mean, it looked like a very hard game. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, it was kind of hard, kind of easy.
So the Rabbids, they're about as annoying as the minions have become. So it's basically, they are the video game equivalent to the minions. They were first an enemy in a Rayman game.
Yep.
Until they became their own series entirely, for better or for worse.
Yep.
So they're also treated with cringe culture.
Basically.
Like the minions.
Basically, if Ubisoft needs anything to catch up with trends, they'll just reuse the rabbits. So when in 2017 they announced Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, everyone was a little bit skeptical at first, but from what I've seen, I haven't played the game personally. It looked really good.
Yeah. I played the original game for like an hour before I got a little bit bored of it.
Mm.
But if it's going to allow free range movement instead of the grid movement, I would be internally grateful. I'm honestly thinking of maybe trying the series again because, again, the original game was kind of a little bit slow and I'm very meticulous. So maybe having it be a little bit more quick time related could be a little bit more like helpful to my kind of playstyle. Mm.
Okay.
So look forward to Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope when it releases exclusively on Nintendo Switch.
Woo! And hopefully it has light compatibility.
Yeah. Now, in terms of like Xbox, there wasn't really that much announced that we can talk about here as it's not really appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mostly, Oscar just said, they kind of went, look at us, we're cool, buy the Xbox. We have a bunch of games for it.
That's basically all they did. They revealed like some stuff but we can't really go that in deep into it since it's not appropriate. So we're sorry, but you can watch these press conferences on YouTube.
And never get those 40 minutes back of your life. You will never get them back.
Nope.
And the other company, Squaresoft, they didn't really announce anything either. But I think one thing that I can mention here is that they are re-releasing the classic Final Fantasy games, as in the 8-bit original games that came out on the NES and SNES. So that's Final Fantasy 1 all the way to Final Fantasy 6.
The NES and SNES are the Nintendo Entertainment System and the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
They're released in the 80s and 90s.
Yes, and the games on there are pretty cool. I play them on my Switch quite often. I think I'm like the only one, but yeah, I think they're pretty cool. They're kind of fun.
Classic games do hold up, and hopefully this game holds up, which I'm not sure what consoles they're coming out for, but they're coming to a console near you.
Probably for Switch, because let's face it, most things are going to the Switch at this point.
Because portability factor.
Yeah. And you're probably thinking, wow, E3 seems like the biggest gaming, it is the biggest gaming convention ever, but why is there hardly anything interesting from it? That's because most of the stuff that happened we can't talk about because it's not for kids. So that's
and
nice.
And we're going to talk about it in a minute, because stay tuned on 1007 Riverland Life FM, where we come back and reveal everything that Nintendo revealed.
Everything. Seriously. Just Nintendo went crazy.
Everything.
So by our last segment, you may have been wondering, man, this E3 thing sucks.
Mm-hmm. It sounds kind of boring, but wait till you hear everything Nintendo did.
Yes, Nintendo were absolutely I wouldn't say amazing per se, but they definitely had the most to show from the most amount of franchises. So let's get right into them. Ruby, I believe you have a list.
I do indeed have a list. In no particular order, I have 7 main things that Nintendo brought up that we could probably talk about on here.
Do we keep in mind, do one at a time?
Yeah, we'll do a little bit one at a time.
Keep in mind that's just 7 main things. Yeah. Main. So not the only
little things.
Not the only things they released.
They're just little things.
The first one I have on my list is the new Smash fighter that got released. His name is Kazuya, and he's from the Tekken series, an old fighting game similar to that of Street Fighter and
Fatal Fury.
Yeah, Fatal Fury.
Which also got... No, that was an SNK rep, which was Terry.
Yeah, SNK.
Never mind. So, he wasn't my first pick. He wasn't my last pick. I didn't even know he existed.
Sam, none of us probably knew he existed.
Street Fighter?
No, Tekken.
The guy from Tekken.
It's a fighting series similar to Street Fighter.
I was going to say, I know what Street Fighter is.
Yeah. But I think what the best part about it was the trailer, because they had the character just throwing all these beloved characters off the cliff. So
except for Kirby. Kirby survived. Because they can't throw out Kirby.
Of course, yeah, Kirby.
So basically
Kirby.
What he said is he dropped him off the cliff and Kirby went, whoop, 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 whoop.
Just floated off the side. Uh-huh. I was like, guys, look at that. Like, wait, where did he go?
It's kind of cute.
Anyway, happy he's here.
Not much to say.
Not much to say. He's now a video game legend, I guess. It's just, nothing much. He's just a video game legend.
Next on my list, we have Mario Party Superstar, I believe it was called.
Yes, it was.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's basically Super Mario Party, but better.
Because it's got old boards, old mini games from the series past.
I love it when Nintendo does that. They never make new content. They just bring back their old content.
But it's good because the old stuff was stuff they did right.
They did right. And the funny thing is, they actually tried to do this on the 3DS with Mario Party, the top 100. That stunk.
It did. It stunk like old cheese.
Oh, well, I enjoyed Mario Party, so I'm sure if you guys think that the older versions were good, I'm sure this one would be even better, because honestly, the ones I've played were really fun.
And I think Switch Lite players will get a kick out of this, because the original Super Mario Party, you had to buy Joy-Cons, but with Mario Party Superstar, you don't need Joy-Cons, you can just play it in handheld mode.
Woo! Oh,
Online play is coming day one instead of 2 years later.
Let's freaking go.
This game will include 5 of the classic N64 Mario Party boards.
Yeah.
Plus 100 mini games for the series.
100?
100?
That's a lot.
That's a lot, considering the, what, like, 50 that we got in Super Mario Party. Probably even less.
Yeah. And with Mario Party Top 100, that also included 100 mini games, but it had only one game board.
I know.
It sucked.
Really did.
So basically, what we're trying to say is Mario Party Top 100, bad. Hype for Mario Party Superstars.
Exactly.
Yes.
Another thing that Nintendo announced, reviving a dead franchise, we have Metroid Dread.
Woo!
The newest game in the Metroid series, also known as Metroid 5.
Well, it's not a dead franchise. The Metroid series is not dead.
Yeah, it's not dead, but it hasn't had a game in ages.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is
that I would say that's pretty much
it wasn't dead. They announced that they were making a Metroid Prime game when they first revealed the Switch.
Okay.
But we haven't heard anything from that. What I would say is a dead franchise is the 2D Metroid series, which hasn't seen an entry in 19 years.
Okay. That is dead. That is very much dead.
Not anymore, because they brought it back with a new 2D game.
Why?
Because it was good.
It was.
Really?
It was good.
I would have thought if it was dead for that long, it wouldn't have been that good.
It's because they transitioned to 3D, stuck with 3D,
and no
said
really
3D
it.
Sucked, 2D was better, and they were like, oh, okay then, here's a new 2D game.
Oh, okay then. Gotta love the fact they actually listened for once.
But anyway, we're super happy for Metroid Dread. Can't wait to hear any new information for Metroid Prime 4, if we do ever get any.
At least we're no longer going to be able to judge the Metroid fans.
Yes.
We also have an update on a Legend of Zelda Age of Calamity expansion pass.
Yes.
The expansion pass, I think, included a playable guardian and a new weapon that you could get was pretty much the guardian's disemboweled legs.
Wow.
What?
I know. It looks weird, but from the looks of it, it looks like it plays pretty cool.
It's going to be pretty cool. Like, I don't have Hyrule Warriors, but I have Breath of the Wild, and I love Breath of the Wild, and I know Hyrule Warriors isn't the same game, but I did download the demo, and it's amazing, trust me.
Okay, another thing that we have is a monkey in a ball. Super Monkey Ball.
What?
Banana.
Mania.
Banana Mania.
What?
So, it's a little bit of history. Super Monkey Ball released on the Sega Dreamcast, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
In 2001.
Stan the Dreamcast.
In 2001, you controlled the platform that the monkey was on. The monkey was in the ball, and you would control him by tilting the area around him to make the ball roll and collect
bananas. You were controlling the gravity, basically.
Yes.
So, basically, it was like when you were a kid and you'd go on those, like, hamster balloons.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that.
It's like one of those get those ball mazes where you would tilt it. Think of that, but it's a fully fledged 3D game.
That sounds questionable. You know what? Sure. Okay.
So go you. More power to you.
So with this new game, they are remaking all the stages from the first three games and putting them all together with all the mini games included into this one big collection to celebrate Super Monkey Ball's 20th anniversary.
Well, to me, this kind of sounds like something that nobody asked for, but Nintendo did it, and they were like, Sega did it, and was like, okay then. You know what? Okay. Yep.
Now, we probably have the two that we are probably most hyped for.
You guys have been keeping me on edge. I want to know what this is. What is this?
The first one we're going to talk about is the newest addition in the WarioWare series. WarioWare Get It Together.
Oh my god. What?
Yes, Wario has his own series where you play quick time mini games using everything on your controller.
Wario!
Buttons. Yes,
Wario!
And a lot of original characters as well.
Oh, I love that. That sounds so cool.
Some of my favorites are Ashley and Kate and Anna.
Wario is my favorite.
Yeah. So basically, it's like Mario Party if there was no game board and all the mini games were like 10 seconds short.
Yeah, they were just thrown at you. And what makes it different from other WarioWare games is that depending on which character you play as, the playstyle will be different.
Ooh. Ah, because normally you have those mirrored characters where it's like they're a different looking character, but they play the same. But they're not doing that for this game. They're just kind of...
Each character's
different?
Yeah, for instance, one of the characters... I forget what his name is. He is an alien in a little hovercraft.
Okay.
So when you play as him in some games, you can hover around. Whereas Ashley, she's a witch. She can do stuff with her wand and make stuff happen in the mini game.
Okay. I already love Ashley. Oh my gosh.
I know. Ashley is a big fan favorite. She's basically this goth witch who has like a little devil as a sidekick.
Yes.
And another big selling point is that it's multiplayer. I think it's multiplayer for like the first time in the series, I think.
Maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Mm. That sounds cool. Again, this Wario thing, this sounds like something one asked for, but Nintendo was like, here you go. And we were like, oh, okay then.
Everyone loved it.
Yeah, we kind of just accepted it. We didn't ask for it. We kind of just like accepted it. Nintendo dropped us a gift.
It's here. We did it.
Yes. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
And now the pizza resistance.
Animal Crossing.
No.
Damn it. Okay.
The pizza resistance for Legend of Zelda.
Oh.
They announced the Game & Watch.
Huh?
So basically, they announced a Game & Watch with...
the first three Zelda games.
Zelda,
Legend of Zelda, Legend of Zelda 2, Link's Adventure, and Link's Awakening.
That's so cool. I thought those Game & Watches were only for, like, Super NES and NES games. I didn't know they made them for other franchises.
No.
Well, they are now.
Well, now it's for Zelda's 35th anniversary.
Tell you what.
But... That's not what we're talking about.
What?
We're talking about the even bigger pizza resistance.
French for lactose intolerance. There's more?
They announced and gave us gameplay footage of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2.
Okay, we all knew it was going to happen, but this is the first time they've shown us footage, correct?
Real footage.
Yes.
Real gameplay footage.
Yeah, gameplay footage.
Yeah, this is a game. This is the game that I was talking to some Legend of Zelda fans, and they are super hyped for this. I swear, every Legend of Zelda fan is going nuts and is really excited for this second edition into the very popular Legend of Zelda game, which I'm considering getting.
Yes, and one of the big noticeable differences is that you can go to the sky.
And you can phase through walls.
What the difference is between Breath of the Wild 1 and Breath of the Wild 2?
What? They're different numbers?
No. The castle in Breath of the Wild 2 floats.
It really is Skyward Sword HD.
What?
Well, essentially, yes. It's basically, what if Skyward Sword was Breath of the Wild? And then they gave us this. This is going to be epic, and we can't wait for it.
Yeah. Yes, that's so cool.
With all that talk about E3 finally done, stay tuned on 1007 Riverland Live FM, where we're talking about everyone's favorite addition to the Switch, Miis.
I think I speak for all the Switch players when I say it was very disappointing to buy our Switch, take it out of its glorious box, turn it on, get it all set up, put our games in, and then go, hey, wait, where are the Miis?
Only to find out that they're in the most disappointing and bland menu ever.
The settings menu. Why?
It doesn't make any sense. I get that Nintendo is trying to move away from the Wii brand, but still, Miis are awesome, which is what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, there was literally no one who didn't like Miis. I can't think of a single person who was like, I hope there's no more Miis in the next console. So I don't know why they just like banished them to a corner of the settings menu. Like, there you go. Stay in the corner. Stay, child.
It's like when a child gets put in a timeout corner, but they did nothing wrong. They just wanted to be a parent pleaser.
Yes.
Yes. I remember, like, when I was really little and I would go over to, like, someone's house, they would have a Wii. Like, pretty much every person on the planet had a Wii. Pretty much.
Are you calling me not a person on this planet?
You didn't have a Wii. Oh, you had a Wii. We had a Wii.
I said pretty much.
True, true.
I said pretty much every person had a Wii. And one of the things we would do is make Miis of each other.
Exactly.
And that was like the most fun experience ever. It was like, it was so fun because you're all sitting together. There's one person with the Wii remote pointing at everything, and we're all just going, "Oh, make his eyes this. Oh, change his color to that. Make his mouth ginormous."
Yeah, I remember sitting with my sister and making the wackiest Miis ever. And I also remember making Miis for all my friends and being able to play with my friends and they could look like themselves in game. And I really miss that kind of how important Miis were to the Wii. Because don't get me wrong, Miis are on the Switch. It's just they don't seem to be as important on the Switch.
No, they've slowly become kind of irrelevant as they have gone on. Like, Miis came back on the 3DS, but since that's a handheld, you're kind of playing it by yourself, and that's no fun, because what's the point of making Miis if you can't be stupid with your friends?
Exactly. Which is why we're here to talk about them.
Which is what we've already been doing.
I know. First question, what did you think about the introduction of the Miis?
Well, my first experience with Miis was on the Wii and then later on my DS. And I was a huge fan of them. I thought they were really fun. I loved making my friends. I loved making weird people. And I loved making all my imaginary friends in there because I was that kid.
Oh, yeah.
I was also that kid.
I remember, like, the first time I got to experience, like, the Wii. The Miis in my own household was when my family got a Wii U. And it was so fun. Like, one person would have the gamepad and we were all making it. We would all be, you know, pointing at stuff to, like, tell everyone what to make. And then we would make replicas of ourselves, which was always so fun. I remember there was this one feature on the Wii U where you could take a photo of yourself and it would and it would transform you into a me, and it would always get it so wrong.
The worst feature. Oh my gosh, yes. I remember trying that on one of my friends' Wii U because I had a Wii pathetic little thing and didn't have a camera on it.
And it was so, so much fun. And I remember, like, the first me I made with my Wii U, I would have brownish, spiky hair, kind of normal human-looking eyes, kind of subtle eyebrows, and then for some reason, a beard.
What?
I know.
Was that you or future you?
I kind of always liked beards, so I thought, well, I'll put it on my me. So,
Oscar,
and I've had it as my me ever since.
Oscar, I have more baby hairs on my chin than you do. Calm down.
Oh, you're not the one who's growing a mustache over here.
Okay.
Yeah, and she's not the one who thinks that the hairs growing on your warts are beard hairs.
I didn't say that.
Here's what we were
thinking. Getting off track here. We're here to talk about Miis.
Okay. How well do you think that the Miis have evolved over the generations?
I watched a video on the history of Miis because that is apparently what I do in my spare time when I've got nothing better to do. I just watch a video on the history of Miis. But yeah, they started off as a very weird concept that no one really liked. And then eventually the creators at Nintendo were like, you know what, let's just give it a shot. And it became a huge hit and everyone loved it.
Mm.
Indeed.
Well, the evolution of Miis, like, it definitely did peak on Wii because everyone had a Wii and it was wildly popular. And so were the Miis because they were basically little video game characters of yourself. It was so appealing. You could even put them in your own games. It was so awesome.
Essentially, it was like creating your own video game character. Mm. I actually disagree. I think they peaked on the DS because there were like at least 5 games that you could use your Miis for that were exclusively for Miis that I can list on the DS.
But you couldn't make Miis on the DS.
Yes, you could.
You could?
Yes, you could. That's what I'm saying. I think that Miis peaked on the DS because you can literally, there's like 5 games on the DS that you can use your Miis for.
I got a question. Is it a DS or is it a DSi?
Mine's the DS.
It's not DSi's. DSi's don't. I have a DSi at home. It's just like the regular 2DS, 3DS stuff.
I have a 3DS.
Because I was saying there's no, like on the original DS, I remember like this YouTube video I saw There wasn't one on the regular DS, but there was one on the 3DS.
Yeah, well, I wonder.
Because the DS came out before the Wii.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it probably was and only it would have on been, the 3DS.
And it would have, and it's not as simple as these days for them to, like, put out an update via Wi-Fi, because it was really hard to do that back then with the DS. You couldn't put in a software update to have a Mii Maker on there, so the original DS never had a Mii Maker.
The newer versions did.
Yeah, I do remember the 3DS did have one.
Mm.
I actually have a story about Miis. Oh, so yeah? One time I was at the hospital, and of course, being that kid, I brought my DS to the hospital. And while I was in surgery, I remember I woke up and afterwards I checked my DS, and there were two other people in the hospital who had their DSs, and through Street Pass I got their Miis, and I've got their Miis on my Street Pass now.
Oh, yes. Oh,
that's so cool.
Yes.
I don't know who they are.
I never had a 3DS, so I'm very sad.
Yeah, the only time that I was ever able to Street Pass, because we live in a small town, was when my friend who also had a 3DS came over. I was Street Pass with him. And just randomly, when I took my 3DS in the car, I would just get this random person with a name like Hujakubinabuga. It was literally just random letters like HJKZWB.
Wow.
Something like that. It was super weird.
We should street pass with each other.
We should do that.
Anyway.
Anyway, more on Miis.
Now to the modern day, with Miis becoming more prevalent because Nintendo finally realized... Oh, yeah, Miis are on the Switch. And release Miitopia.
Indeed. An amazing game that puts your Miis into a fantasy world where you have to save people's faces. It's a strange plotline. Don't question it.
It's hilarious.
It's hilarious, and it's a really good game and an all-around fantastic time.
I downloaded the demo for it and I played it for a bit until I realized I don't have enough Miis to actually do the story on my Switch.
Yeah, I think everyone just forgot about Miis and just stopped making them.
Whenever I would kind of get into like a new phase of like my favorite game characters, I would make a Mii of them on my Switch.
Oh,
I have like everyone in my family, like a few of my friends, heaps of gaming characters. I have like an Inkling from Splatoon 2. I think I have, like, Flint Lockwood from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs on there.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could just imagine him, being, like, a scientist. No, that would be amazing.
Flint Lockwood, the Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord.
The Dark Lord.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, in Miitopia, you go around and, because Miis are all about creating people, what's a distinctive feature of a person? Oh, yeah, their face. So you basically have to go around and save people's faces because this, I don't know, dark witch is, like, stealing people's faces.
This Dark Lord is stealing people's faces.
Imagine if Oscar's Mii that he made for me, oh no.
Oh, lost. Yes.
It'll be, like pretty much just half his face, just boop,
oh,
gone.
Man.
That'd be hilarious.
We can make... Oh, Miis can be so stupid sometimes.
And that's why we love them.
And we hope that you do too.
Indeed. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Head in the Game. I'm Ruby.
I'm Lucy.
And I'm your boy, Oscar.
Thanks for joining the Head in the Game crew. We'll be back with a new show same time next Monday. See you later.